And if not, we'll be in 2 Samuel chapter 15 tonight. 2 Samuel 15. Get into God's Word tonight. 2 Samuel 15. Second Samuel 15, we're going to start in verse 13 tonight. That's where we're going to start at. I'll get us up to speed real quick before we start reading. This is, so you remember, this is David's life. And the big event, you know, if you're trying to figure out where at in David's life we're at kind of the later side of his life. So you remember, one of the big events in his life is after he became king, he stole Bathsheba, you know, Uriah the Hittite's wife. You know, he saw her bathing one night when he should have been at war with the rest of the kings, but he wasn't. And, you know, he called her, found out who she was, called her, and then she became with child. You know, he got caught. He had Uriah killed, took her to be his wife, thought everything was fine, you know, and that's when Nathanael, the prophet came, you know, tells him, thou art the man, and David repents from that, and because he repents, he softened his heart, he admitted to God, he said, I've sinned against you, and because of that, God said he wouldn't die for his sin, because he should have died for what he had done. But the Lord said that the sword would never depart from his house. And, you know, that's one thing to remember is, ran into this a few days ago, that, you know, Jesus Christ, he will forgive your sins. You call on his name for forgiveness of sins. You trust in his sacrifice on the cross. You believe in that. You call on his name. Your sins will be covered by the blood. They will be forgiven. Cast as far, the Bible says, as from the east as from the west. But I'll tell you one thing. God never removes the consequences of sin. You can be forgiven by him, but the consequences still happen. You murder somebody, you're going to have to pay, you know, the penalty for that. You have an affair and there's a child conceived, that baby's going to be with you the rest of your days. And that's going to be a reminder of what happened, even though that in the eyes of God, the sins are forgiven. So it's something to remember. Sin has consequences. You know, the Bible says you'll reap what you sow. You know, sowing to the flesh, you sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. You sow of the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit. You know, so one of the things that happens later on, remember, the sword's not going to depart. 2 Samuel 13, in that chapter, Amnon forces himself on his half-sister Tamar, which is Absalom's full sister, and he doesn't do anything. Absalom doesn't do anything for 2 years, and then he finds just the right time where they're going to have a little celebration together, and when Amnon is drunk with wine, they kill him. And Absalom flees for several years until King David allows him to return to Jerusalem. And that gets us to where we're at in 2 Samuel 15. But one of the things that Absalom does when he gets back, you see at the beginning of the chapter, is he starts acting like he's the king. So he has chariots and horses around him and 50 men running in front of him. So he acts like he's a king. He stands at the gate like a king would or a ruler would for people. In those days, they would come to the gate of the city, and that's where the matters would be decided, almost like the courtroom. They would take care of things. And so whenever someone had a controversy, they would come, and there would be Absalom there on the gate, and he would tell every one of them, yeah, what you're saying is good and right. He'd say that to everybody, which, you know, you can't. You can't have both sides correct, but that's what he did. He told people what they wanted to hear, and he treated everyone like they were important. They were going to bow down to him, and instead he gives them a hug and kisses them and everything. And it says in verse 6 of 2 Samuel 15, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So he did all these things, and he starts winning over their hearts. And then after that, he lies to his father, King David, says he's got to return to Hebron because he had vowed a vow to the Lord if he was ever allowed to return to Jerusalem. You know, that was a lie. He lied about that. And instead, he gathers men together, starts a conspiracy, and then steals the throne from his father David. So that is where we're at when we start in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13, says this. It says, "And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil on us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." So let's skip down to verse 19. "Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go, whether I may, return thou and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all his little ones that were with him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for its truth. And Lord, I thank you for the wonderful news that we've heard. Lord, that you hear our prayers, that you the blessings of the songs and testimonies. Lord, I thank you for all of it. Lord, I pray in this final time of the service, Lord, that you'd use me, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we can learn from your word, that we can glean from it today. Lord, open up ears and hearts, touch our minds. Lord, help us to apply the word tonight to our life. Lord, I thank you that it's true. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So again, we see Absalom has created this rebellion. He is rebelling against his own father, trying to steal the kingdom. This was not God's will. This was Absalom wanting power, wanting to be in charge. And remember, the Lord said David was going to have trouble. There was going to be the sword in his house. And again, we've got more trouble coming to his house. And there, starting there in verse 13, you know, when David receives word of it, Absalom had stolen the hearts of the people. He then begins this escape. They start to flee the city when he receives word of what Absalom has done. So there you see David and his soldiers and his servants, all of them with him, are walking out of the city without a fight. And you think, what a sad time. What a sad time for David to be in this spot. Because I looked it up. David is 59 years old at this point, you know. And that may not seem too big, but he had already been king for 29 years at this point. You know, he had been king the first 7 years. He was king in Hebron. Then the rest of it was in Jerusalem. But now Absalom had won over the hearts of the people. And I thought about that. Here is David. And this is not David's first time of being on the run from someone else who wanted to be king that didn't belong in the on the throne. Remember King Saul? Remember the beginning where God had taken the kingdom from Saul, but there's Saul still in the job. He's still causing trouble. He's trying to kill David. That was basically all of David's 20s. From 20 to 29, he was on the run from Saul. And you think about that. 9 years of trying to stay one step ahead of Saul and his men, and you know, hiding in caves and in deserts, and going to one place and then helping out the people, and then those people giving him up to Saul, telling him where they're at. That's frustrating. That was a frustrating time of David's life. That was a time you know, where it would have tested his patience, tested his faith, you know, asking God, are you sure that I'm anointed king? It doesn't look like I'm king. When I'm on the run, it looks, what did he say to Jonathan one day? He said, there's but a step between me and death. You know, I'm this close to dying, yet God's saying that I'm going to be the next king. And now at 59, he's looking back, and I guarantee every one of those memories from his 20s when he's on the run from Saul is coming up afresh again. And remember, you know, he was running from Saul, and he would would not kill Saul during that time. It amazed the men around him. They were saying, please let us, you know, just run the spear through him while he's asleep. And he said, I'm not touching God's anointed. And now it's his own son. His own son Absalom has rebelled against him, has stolen the kingdom. And you just think about this, what a mess of a time that's going on. And then you see in all of this, you see right here in verse 15, it says, the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever the king shall appoint. And I stopped and thought about that. There's a blessing right there. Even in times of frustration, even when David's doing and going and setting out and fleeing yet again for another time in his life, knowing this time all the trouble and all the pain, and now he's an older man, he doesn't get around as well as he used to, but aren't you glad he's not by himself? He's got those around him that saying, hey, I know that Absalom has won over the hearts of the majority. I understand that they are with him. He's younger, he's good looking and all these things, but they're saying, you know what, David, I am not abandoning you. That's a blessing right there. That's a blessing when we go through hard times and we're not alone. You know, that's one of the things the Lord reminded Elijah when he was in depression, when he was there under the juniper tree asking God to take his life. The Lord, then he goes into the cave and doesn't want to come out. And the Lord there tells him in a still small voice that there's a whole bunch that hadn't bowed the knee or kissed a false god or anything like that. I'm glad during times when the devil feels like tries to isolate us and tries to get us to believe that there's nobody else but Victory Church. We know that's a lie. We know there's many, many Christians in this earth that are true, that are sticking with the Bible, and I'm glad we're not alone. But one of the things that it calls out is you see one person's name here in verse 19, and this is what caught my attention. Because remember, in verse 15, there were all kinds of servants that are unnamed that said, we're ready to do whatever the king shall appoint. But you get to verse 19, it says, then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. So you see right here, you've got this person named now, Ittai the Gittite, and that Gittite means he's from Gath. He's a Philistine from Gath, the same Gath of Goliath and so this is a place known for ungodliness and wickedness and the false gods of the Philistines that they, Dagon and all the rest of them that they worship. They were nearly constant enemies of God's people, during all this time. But we see right here one of them, and David tells him, he says, hey, just go back to your home. You know, I know you've been following me. I know you're with me like everyone else, but he says, return to your place, abide with the king. You go to a safe place. You're a stranger. You're an exile. You don't need to be following me. You don't need to be amongst all the problems that we have. You go follow after Absalom. You know, you're an outsider. You don't need to get into all this trouble. And I stopped and thought about that. And I said, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? It reminded me of the book of Ruth, right? Naomi, what did she tell her daughters-in-law after their husbands had died? They were both Moabite women, and she said, return to your home. That's what she said. Return to your gods, return to your homes. And Orpah left and returned to her gods. That's what the Bible says. Aren't you glad that here's the thing. Even David, look at verse 20. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go, whether I may return now and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with you. So he's saying, hey, listen, you haven't even been following me very long. Why would I burden you with following us and getting, you know, we're going to have to live in dens and caves like I used to. We're going to have to be on the run and everything else. Just go back to your brethren. And he's saying, look, You're not bound to me anymore. You don't have to follow me anymore. And again, that's what Ruth was saying, right? That's what she said. You know, you're not bound. Your husband has died and I can't give you another son to marry. So I'm giving you every reason to go back to your home. But remember what Ruth said this in Ruth 1:16. She said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." So she is saying right here, she's saying, "I don't identify anymore with the false gods of my growing up, the false gods of the Moabites. I'm following after your God because I want your God to be my God." And that's a blessing, isn't it? Look at verse 21. Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." He says just about the same thing, and he starts out with this, "As the Lord liveth." That Philistine, the one that grew up with the false gods, with Dagon and everything else, has abandoned all of that. And he said, "Listen, I know that there is a God that lives, and it's the God of the Israelites. And more than that, I think he was saying, David, you've got a relationship with that Lord, and I want to follow you and learn more about the Lord that's blessed you. Because I know that that Lord, he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's anointed you to be king. And it doesn't matter that this rebellion has started. I am sticking with you." That's a blessing. When you think about that, it's a blessing. "I'm your servant." That's what he tells him. He had changed his heart from idolatry, and as the Lord liveth. And you think about it, it doesn't matter how wicked a person is in sin. Aren't you glad that where sin did abound, the Bible says grace did much more abound? And we can see that in people's lives. He said, "I'm your servant, and I'm sticking with it." See, Ittai had a choice of who he wanted to follow. In fact, everyone in the kingdom had a choice. They were going to pick one king or another. They had to choose sides. They couldn't stay in the middle. They had to pick a king. And you think about it, at that time, the easy choice would have been Absalom. That's the majority. That's where the one that won over all the hearts. That's where a lot of people would have gone. He was stronger and everything else. And it would have been dangerous to follow David. Because if David would die or they would get captured, they were like traitors, basically, because they were saying that he was a different king. So they're in this dangerous spot in the minority, trying to retreat. And here's the thing, David again is trying to sell him. "Return to your place. Go back." He's concerned for him because he's saying, "I know hard days are coming. I know it's going to be difficult." And here's the thing. Anyone can serve God in the palace. Anyone could have served David in the palace, but he's saying, "Now that you're following me out into the wilderness, it's going to be a hard life." But Ittai said, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you run into. It doesn't matter what happens. I am going to follow you." So there they have this tearful exit out of the city. They're being run out by rebels because the hearts of the people so easily were shifted. Friends have become enemies and all of these things. And then it brings the question, will you still serve the king? Will you still serve the true King David? Or will you switch sides to the majority and what's popular and everything else? And Ittai had only recently joined himself to David. He didn't have a long history of following David. It's almost like a recent conversion, almost one of those things. And he's saying it would have been so easy to switch back and to go back to the old way. But he's saying, "No, I'm dedicating myself to you." And you know what? I believe the Lord is looking for more people like Ittai that are dedicated and will be faithful and will serve no matter what. Again, what did I say? It's easy to serve in the palace. It's easy to serve when everything's going all right, when things are fine, when there's not a lot of opposition. But on the flip side, when the enemy is roaring, when there's fear going on, when it's unsure what the future will bring, what are you going to do?
And there's Ittai not only being loyal to David, but he's publicly saying it. He's saying it out loud. People would have heard him say, make this declaration to David, saying, hey, I am aligned with you. And again, he didn't care how dangerous it was. He didn't care any of those things. He wasn't interested in being a secret follower of David. And I'll tell you what, we shouldn't be interested in being a secret follower of Jesus Christ. You know, we run into that too many times where people are a double agent in this world. I'll tell you what Jesus said. He said this in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I'll tell you what, it's hard to go against the grain. It's hard to go against public opinion and the majority and everything else. But I'll tell you what, our chief goal needs to be, we've got to tell this world the truth. And he said, don't deny me and I won't deny you. What a blessing and what a promise. But he is giving himself to David no matter what the cost, no matter what the consequence is, no matter where the place is, no matter what job David calls him to do. He says, I'm with you in life or even in death. And you know what? I believe we got to convince ourselves of the same thing. Who is Ittai? He is a faithful, loyal servant of David. And I believe we can take what he said, and on the spiritual side, we can apply that and be a faithful, loyal servant of the Lord. Right? He is a loyal servant. David would have told us about his loyalty. And then the question is, what would the Lord say about our service? How would he describe our service? Is it when it's convenient? Is it when we don't have an excuse or something else? Or are we a loyal, faithful servant of the Lord? And I'll tell you what, one day he will tell us how our service was. One day we will stand before him and he will let us know how we serve. And I'll tell you, I want to be one of the ones where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful with a few things. Now enter into the joys of the Lord. So he's saying, no matter what happens, David, I'm going to be with you. And I don't know about you, I want to be where Jesus is. Right? I want to go to where he is. I want to worship him. I want to serve him and praise him. And I know where he's at. Right now he's king. He's on the throne in heaven. And now he's telling him, he's saying, hey, verse 22, he says, you pass over before me. Right? That's what he said. You pass over before, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all his little ones that were with him. That tells me that would have been a hard journey, right? It's hard enough sometimes having a church service with little ones, trying to keep them corralled and everything else. But now they're going on this long journey, trying to escape the enemy, going to a new place, getting away from their home and everything else. And they've got little ones in tow. It would have been a hard thing to do. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God was with them every step of the way? You know, I saw something. If you go two chapters over, in chapter 3, when you go over to chapter 18, you see something right off the bat. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. You know how David rewarded his faithfulness? He put him over a third, in charge of a third of the people. That's a blessing to think about that. And you know what? God is going to do the same thing. For us that are faithful, he will put us in charge of bigger things, he says, in the life to come. And I just want to close with Revelation 22. It says this, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be on it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must be shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Praise God for that. You think about it. He's saying, hey, there's going to be a lot of blessings there, but I'll tell you what, his servants will still serve there. You know what? Remember what I said? It's easier to serve in the palace than out in the wilderness and out on the run. It was easier for Adam and Eve to serve in the Garden of Eden than it was after the curse when there's thorns and thistles and a cursed ground. I'll tell you what, we're serving the Lord right now, and it's hard because of opposition. It's hard because of hell. It's hard because of different priorities and things that try to take up our time and things that we have to keep attend to. It's hard to do things. It's hard to fight the flesh when the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's hard to do these things, but I tell you what, when we serve God in heaven, it will be like serving in the palace. It'll be like nothing. Aren't you excited about it? I'm excited about seeing Jesus. I'm excited about worshiping him. I'm excited to see the place that he prepared. And excited to continue to serve him in whatever he has me to do. But you know what the Lord wants? Us to be more like Ittai than Gittite. He was faithful. And he had a choice. And he could have taken the easy route. And he could have said, you know what, I'm going to stay here. Or I'm going to go back to Gath. Or I'm just going to serve Absalom because that's the easy thing to do. But he said, no, David, even though David, you gave me a way out, I'm going to follow you even unto death. And I'm going to serve you. We need to be the same way with the Lord. He owns our life anyway. And I'll tell you what, we put our life in his hands. He'll bless us every step of the way. He'll take care of us. Let's ask ourselves, where are we at today? Are we faithful? Because there's a king. Oh, there was a King David, but we've got King Jesus. And we need to serve him. Yeah. And I tell you what, there's no greater privilege in the world than that, is to serve our God. And if you're serving him, don't quit serving him. Right? If you're doing his will, don't you quit. Don't give up. Let's keep on going. Because one day, that king's going to leave his throne, and he's going to come about halfway, and he's going to call us up to be with him. Praise God. I can't wait for that day. Let's stand, everyone.